Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
LeBron and Kobe, or LeBron and MJ. But my real fact on this is it doesn't matter and you shouldn't care who's ranked one and who's ranked three going into week 12. And that sounds like what you kind of said there. It's going to figure itself out. We haven't even set championship week yet. We don't know who's going to play in championship games. And I said this yesterday as well. If A&M runs through the rest of their schedule and wins the SEC title game, I probably will clamor for them to be number one.
And I think that would be 100% valid. And it makes for bad radio, imagine the playoff rankings come out last night, and ESPN leads it off with, okay, this is going to be the second edition of the playoff rankings, but remember, none of this matters.
None of it matters.
We have four more to go. So it just kind of is what it is, but we're going to have three more regular season weeks, and then the data point of conference championship week. So it always sorts itself out, and it will again this year.
Yes, sir. Well, Colt, I appreciate it, man. You the man.
Yes, sir. We'll do it again next week. Got to hit that legal ID, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a real radio guy talking. That's a guy who was on radio in Denver for a while. Shout out to Colton Denning. He's the owner of Two Stripe CPD. Go subscribe to Two Stripe CPD. Also, go subscribe to his YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/Colton Denning. Hit that subscribe button. He's on X as well, at DubSco. Now, let's go ahead and grab a break. Hour number two is on the way. David Kopp will lead us off on the other side. David Kopp writes about college basketball and college football for CBS Sports. He's on X at David W. Kopp. Also a role player here, 92.9 FM ESPN, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, right here with the Gabe Kuhn Show. On Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. David, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing? I'm doing great. I just picked up Little Caesars for dinner, so I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, wow. I saw a story about a woman who was trying to make it to Little Caesars before it closed, so she went 107 miles per hour in a school zone. Is it worth that? Is it worth it?
Well, you had me until school zone. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I get it. I love it. You know, now I think I'd back it down to, at 75 in the school zone. I mean, come on.
I have questions. What? Closing?
It was late at night.
So why does the school zone matter?
That's a good point. That's what I saw, though. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe there was a game going on or something. I have no idea. I have no idea.
I have questions.
Maybe the Little Caesars closes early. Maybe it closes.
Listen, I did not read the story. I was just scrolling, like we all do. Okay, let's relax here. Let's not quiz me about it.
Okay.
I just saw what I saw. She was still going 107 to get to Little Caesars.
All right. That part's understandable.
That's that.
Innocent.
Let's leave out. She's innocent. I still think the goat of cheap pizzas, though, is Costco's, without question. If you have a Costco card, though, but you got to go out of your way.
Yeah, but don't you build in the price of your membership to the pizza?
I mean, all right, I guess. But if you have a Costco card, $9.95 for that pizza, that big old pizza?
Yeah, but you have to have pants on to go into Costco. You don't need pants to go into Little Caesars.
You also have to
have
an
unfair point. It really isn't an unfair point.
You have to have a Costco nearby, though. I don't have a Costco nearby, so it's Little Caesars.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, now, before we get into some Memphis Tiger basketball discussion, I do want to get your thoughts on the college football playoff rankings. Week two of them coming out. I think still people have their complaints. The ACC even put out a blind resume on Monday about it, but they have their complaints about Miami being six spots below Notre Dame. because of the week one head-to-head. I've seen that complaint out there. The complaint about Utah, as high as they are, I actually do hear, because they haven't really beat anybody of substance to this point, and they have one game against really premier competition, and they got their butts kicked. So, like, what did you see from last night's college football playoff rankings that you think's worth noting?
Well, to hyper-localize it, I guess, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you don't love to see yourself falling one spot in the ranking for doing absolutely nothing wrong. Like, yep. well, hold on here. And I know there's a lot of anxiety amongst that Ole Miss fan base, I think built up over decades of being the bridesmaid and, you know, never being the one that, oh, somehow, some way, there's going to be a three-loss Texas team that makes it in over us. If, you know, and that's just like projecting trauma that you don't even have any reason to believe yet, because at this point, Ole Miss only has one loss. And yet it seems like so many of their fans are assuming that they're either going to lose to Florida or lose to Mississippi State and end up with two losses and somehow end up on the wrong side of the CFP bubble. So I know Ole Miss fans, you know, what we saw last night didn't do anything to assuage those fears and those concerns. But I tend to agree. I mean, it does feel like Utah's kind of artificially high in these rankings for no real reason. But then at the same time, BYU gets docked pretty heavily for losing on the road against Texas Tech. And so that doesn't really make sense when you put the two of those things together, because it's like, all right, if we're going to respect the Big 12, then we don't need to decimate BYU for losing at Texas Tech. That doesn't really add up. And then it was like with Miami, they kind of walked back their Miami stance a little bit by bumping them up three spots. And hey, look, maybe their at-large candidacy isn't dead yet. You know, I mean,
it's not. It doesn't look like it.
No, not at all. So, like, if I mean, they're they would need help. Like, clearly, they're going to need help. But yeah, so a lot of it's up in the air. But at the end of the day, man, like, I really don't think the ACC has a leg to stand on here.
Right.
I think this is a garbage conference.
That's the thing. And like, I love Miami fans doing the thing where, oh, well, we won head-to-head against Notre Dame in week one. Well, Louisville is sitting there at 20, has the same amount of losses as you, and they beat you at your place 4 weeks ago. Should they be in the college football playoff and ahead of you? And then you'll have Miami fans say, no, that's not the same thing. You know, the best win that Louisville has is not the same as the best win that Miami has. Well, if you want Miami to be ahead of Notre Dame, then Louisville's win would be better at said point. So no, it is the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
It absolutely is. It's a great point. And you look at, like, then it comes down to, like, well, who has Notre Dame actually beaten?
Yeah.
You know, that. Like,
and I hear that. USC is it. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, and so that last at-large spot, guaranteed, it's just going to be chaos. But, yeah, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, the thing with Notre Dame, like, people can bring up who have they beaten in this seven-game stretch, and I hear that. They've won seven straight, though, in their Notre Dame, and they were in the national title game last year. I never expected the committee to give up on them. Also, I do want to mention, with Miami, here's the mental block I'm having. If you are out of if you don't really have a chance to win the ACC title with how down the ACC is and how bad the ACC is, with no Clemson and Florida State even remotely sniffing anything of substance in that conference, if you can't win that conference, I can't really give you a nod as a college football playoff team. I just that's the mental block I'm having right now with anyone from the ACC.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and so that scenario, we talked about it a little bit on Monday, but I think these rankings coming out really reinforce the possibility, maybe not the likelihood, but the possibility of the ACC champion not making the playoff, especially if that ACC champion is Duke, a Duke team with four losses that just lost to UConn, could very well still win that league. And if that's the case, are they getting in over South Florida in all likelihood? And James Madison, I don't know, man. Like, South Florida is ranked right now. If they win out, they're clearly in. And then you look at JMU, who would have one loss as your Sun Belt champion, versus Duke, that would have four losses as your ACC champion. That's why I think it's funny, too. Like, I mean, I'll call him out because he's my coworker and I like him, but Danny Cannell out here saying the group of five, they don't need a spot in the playoff. Yeah. And it's like, whoa,
what
man.
About the ACC?
The logic you're using to make that argument is like, it's going to keep the ACC out.
Yeah. You good? You good over there, David?
Dude.
No, I get you.
Give me one sec.
It happens every once in a while. You got a scratch in the throat. But yeah, no, I absolutely feel you on that. Like, I just, again, that mental block of anyone, if you cannot win that bad conference, that trash conference, I don't think that you deserve to be a college football playoff team. Now, also, I know that this is like a recurring theme every year, but the SEC, they got 6 of the top 12 and 5 of the top 10 teams in these rankings. Yet I feel like every week there's still a conversation from coaches or from Greg Sankey or from SEC fans about how they don't get as much respect as they deserve for the schedule that they play. They get plenty of respect, David. Like Lane Kiffin was the one this week saying A&M should be number one. But you're getting five of the top 10. You're getting 6 of the top 12. You get plenty of respect if you're the SEC.
No, yeah, without a doubt. And that's only going to increase, I think, as they in the future go to a 9-game conference schedule and then have the mandate to where you got to play another power conference opponent as well. No, I don't think the SEC is being disrespected in these rankings whatsoever. That would be – that's an illogical conclusion to draw. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter really all that much.
Who's three and who's number one. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have that feather in the cap. But at the end of the day, with the way they do the rankings and everything, like, it's not probably in all likelihood going to make a huge difference. Go look at last year's bracket. I mean, it really didn't matter who was the one and who was the four. And, you know, I mean, so, like, and it could still change. Like, if Texas A&M runs the table, you're telling me they, you know, with a win over Texas and then a win in the SEC championship game, I think there'd be a pretty good chance they would jump Ohio State and would be number one. They're not there yet, but I'm not, you know, there's no guarantee that they won't get there.
I think that what Lane Kiffin did, and he does this, I guess, but he created a circular argument that can never be won because all teams have zero losses. All the top three teams have zero losses. And if you're A&M, you say strength of record and strength of schedule. If you're Ohio State and Indiana, you say, okay, yeah, you can have strength of record and strength of schedule. We have margin of victory. We're beating teams by 24-plus points every single time we step out there on a field. So, like, you can say what you want to say. We're playing a Big Ten schedule, and we're beating the hell out of everybody. Isn't that what you expect us to do? You know, so it's just this circular conversation that I personally mentioned it yesterday. I'm not interested in.
Well, yeah, these comparisons are so difficult to make because – I mean, what Indiana and Ohio State are doing right now is so dominant, but it's also so different from what the SEC teams are doing. I mean, even the SEC teams with lighter schedules have a more difficult task week in and week out than Indiana and Ohio State. And that's why you look at Oregon right now and you feel like, man, they're just kind of teetering because they have the loss at Indiana and they really don't have much on their resume because what was supposed to be a big win at Penn State has not held up. And now they're going to be banking on hopefully beating USC next week. But, I mean, I think we have to have a real conversation about Oregon if they don't beat USC. I mean, what's on their resume at that point? So, like, it's okay. If you're in the Big Ten, it's got to be margin of victory. If you're in the SEC, it's just got to be total number of victories, I think. I think just getting the W carries a little more weight. But it's so difficult to compare. And that's where it's going to get super dicey if you have a four-loss Duke and a one-loss James Madison, because it's kind of the same thing. It's like, all right, well, Duke does play a tougher schedule, obviously. So do we reward that? Or, I mean, this James Madison team's been beaten up on pretty much everybody in the Sun Belt, winning most of these games pretty easily, pretty convincingly. So how do you adjudicate that? Those are really difficult decisions to make. There are no perfect answers. At the end of the day, though, it's like, When I look at, like, who can actually win a national championship right now in college football this season, I think, a lot of the teams that are in these debates, I don't think are teams that can actually win at all. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, like, I think it would be great to see James Madison make the bracket and would be really fun and validating for the G5, but, like, they don't have a chance to win the national championship. And, you know, I think you could almost say the same for, I mean, whoever we're talking about from the ACC, probably whoever we're talking about from the Big 12, and I know that makes me an elitist, to say only an SEC team or a Big Ten team can win it all this year, but that's
history tells us.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I don't know if you're dealing with all this daycare crud, man, but it's killing me right now. I don't know what's going on. But,
we'll make it through it. Only a few more things to talk about. Now, Miami fans are going to be really big fans of Pitt this week, even though they're in conference. But Pitt plays Notre Dame. What'd you think of Pat Narduzzi and what he had to say? He said he would trade in a 100-point loss to Notre Dame for two more ACC wins. And it's kind of funny. If I'm Pat Narduzzi, somebody pointed this out. Go look at the tie-breaking scenarios. You're not, even if you win those two games, obviously it depends on what everybody else does around you, but if the people around you keep winning, you're not guaranteed to be in the ACC title game just for winning those two ACC games after Notre Dame.
Yeah, maybe wouldn't have said that if I were him. But I get where he's coming from, though. Like, hey, we can win our league. We can make the college football playoff. Even if we lose this game to Notre Dame, like, you know, I mean, maybe some section of that fan base would say, you know what, we'd rather beat Notre Dame than win the ACC. But, like, at the end of the day, like, winning the ACC, making the playoff, I think would be a bigger deal to them. So I think that kind of tells you which side to bet in that game, doesn't it? Like,
yeah.
Because is Pitt really going to lay it all out there on the line, knowing that what is very much a bigger goal for them?
The other side is, hey, Narduzzi took pressure off of his guys, so that maybe they can play free.
I need my guy Mason Heintzel to go out there and ball out, so I can justify it, continuing to have him in the top 10 of my quarterback.
Well, you have a UConn quarterback at number one right now, so.
Well deserved, too, Gabe. Well deserved. You're not going to come at me for that.
No. 25 touchdowns, zero interceptions, 2,800 yards. Yeah, you get my in 10 games. Yeah, you get my respect. I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all. Joe Fagnano is a stud, absolute stud. And UConn football? How are they 7-3? I thought they. I figured they would be dead till the end of time once they did what they did and aligned with the Big East and went independent in football.
Yeah, you know, it makes you never want to hear another coach complain about their roster ever again, like in terms of the money, because they are getting pennies on the dollar for UConn football compared to what UConn men's and women's basketball get. I mean, I bet that roster, that Jim Moore Jr.'s football roster is 10% of the value of that men's basketball roster, and probably about the same in terms of the women's, maybe 20% of what the women's basketball roster is. I mean, it's peanuts that he's got there, and he's 7-3, got a chance to win 10 games. If they win their last two and then they win a bowl, they would win 10 games for the first time ever as an FBS program. And, you know, they beat Duke. Like, you know, that's an actual legitimate victory over a team that might still make the playoff. So it's honestly stunning. And the only reason we're not talking about Jim Mora Jr. for other jobs right now is because he's a retread already. I mean, he was at UCLA and, you know, it didn't work out there. And so, you know, if this were some guy that had just been discovered, we'd be talking about him like he's the next Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah.
And maybe we do in this era need to look at coaches like that a little bit differently, because it's like, wow, you can coach, you can win. Who cares if you can recruit? Because clearly it doesn't matter what level of talent you have, you're going to get the most out of it, because that's what he's doing right now at UConn, and that's what coaching is about right now. So he probably deserves another look, even though it didn't go well for him the first time he had a big job.
Well, I remember he recruited pretty well when he was at UCLA. So you can say what you want about recruiting. He did all right for himself at UCLA. Brought in a few 5-stars. I remember playing his teams. They were pretty dang good. Pretty dang talented.
Yeah, Memphis went out there. Did UCLA ever come to the Liberty Bowl?
Yeah, they did. They did my senior year.
Yeah.
Beat them 48-45. Wow. Josh Rosen threw a pick, throwing across his body, Tim Hart to the crib. Still remember
That's
it.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and
That's
Anthony right. Miller cool. yeah. went absolutely. He went off in that game. Went off.
Yeah,
they couldn't stop us. I mean, they had no chance. All right, now Memphis basketball went to Ole Miss last night, lost 83-77. Stuck in there. Curtis Givens 20 points. Ashton Hardaway 16 points. How much of this game did you get to take in? Did you get to watch?
Okay, so I was at Louisville, Kentucky, in Louisville, which was a good game. You know, interesting game anyway. And so. Hopefully my car insurance guy doesn't listen to us, but yeah, I mean, so I had it recorded, so I kind of had it. I was watching it kind of on the phone on my way home. I just, you know, needed to stay awake somehow. And I didn't get to like in-depthly like dissect it all, but I did catch bits and pieces of it on my phone. There are a few things that stuck out. One, Ilias Comerdine for Ole Miss.
Yes.
That dude's
keep an eye on him.
Freaking good. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, he comes over from the top division of French ball. He's classified as a senior in his first year of college basketball. And so, you know, getting him eligible was a huge battle for Ole Miss. But once they got that done, you see now why Chris Beard's got a team that can go back to the NCAA tournament. And then, so from the Memphis side, it was like, Kind of confirmed my worst fears about Aaron Bradshaw.
Thank you for bringing that up first. Thank you.
I mean, honestly, when Simon Mahak, I mean, God bless him, he's playing well. When he's out there stealing Darren Bradshaw's minutes, and when Theano Sila is, I mean, I honestly would have never expected him to play the amount of minutes in the amount of role that he did on the road against Ole Miss in early to mid-November, you know? And it's like, man, like I knew Aaron Bradshaw was a vastly different player than Dane Danger. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind about that. But I still thought he could maybe be effective. And so far, I mean, that's just not been the case.
It's just his body movement, the way he runs, the way he places himself on the floor. Listen, it's a long season, okay? He's got plenty of opportunity to show why he was a McDonald's All-American and a five-star. But I can say pretty confidently through these four games, I don't see it right now. I see nothing. I hate to say it that way. Because I was expecting big things, and it felt like, based on the way this recruiting class went and the transfer portal, Aaron Bradshaw was going to be that ceiling piece that could raise your ceiling if you get what you expect to get out of him. But I'm questioning if they're ever going to come close to getting anything out of him. He just does not look the part. I'm sorry.
No, and he never has, and that's a problem with these transfer downs. I mean, sometimes you'll get a Malik Dia. I mean, Belmont. I mean, this dude barely played at Vandy. He goes down to Belmont. He rips up the Missouri Valley, and he ends up at Ole Miss. And it's like, oh, my gosh, right? And so, like, there's a part of you that hopes that's the same trajectory or story for an Aaron Bradshaw. Like, he just needed his Belmont. I mean, not the, you know, Memphis and Belmont. It's not apples to apples. But, you know, same sort of principle. You transfer down to a, quote, mid-major conference. Like, maybe you can pop. Maybe you get in a team that has a role for you. But, no, I don't see it. And I think it also is – partially has something to do with the fact that they are still so early in the offensive install. And the fact that, like, Memphis it was able to go on the road and keep up with Ole Miss.
Yep.
When Ole Miss had a guy just going absolutely gangbusters like Elias Comerdine. I mean, in a sense, I think there's a positive to take from that because, like, we know this thing is not even close to being hopefully what it will be. And yet here you are, like, on the road against a team that was just in the Sweet 16, going blow for blow with them and hanging around in the second half. So, you know, I mean, there was a lot of fight there from Memphis. Now, the defense, though, I mean, you can't let a team shoot 50-whatever percent, you know, I don't care who it is, and expect to win the game. So, like, I mean, that's the other side of it. And the part of it that you would expect to be a little further along, maybe, because the defense should be a little bit more instinctual than you know, installing an offense. And you should be able to go out there and say, okay, this guy's killing us, somebody guard him, you know, and they never got to that point. And that was a bit baffling. But, you know, I mean, all in all, like, I don't think you're – given what the line was, I mean, they were expected to go down there and get killed, you know.
Yep.
And they went in there and hung around and made it a game.
Yep. I also will say some good news coming up on Sunday. You got – Josh Pastner's return and that UNLV team, not a good start to the season. Josh Pastner not off to a very good start. They're 1-2 with losses to Montana and UT Martin. So,
oh yikes!
Yeah,
oh.
I don't. You have you. It sounds like I'm surprising you with that.
Yeah, you are. I didn't. I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah, they played last night and lost to Montana by 9. Gave up 102 points.
No.
Gave up 102 points to Montana.
Oh, no, that's you can't lose that game, honestly. Like, yeah, you got Cal coming back, you got Pastner coming back. You got to be one of them. You can't lose to that UNLV team. No way.
Yep, for sure. Well, David, I'll let you roll, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks.
He is David Cobb, college basketball, college football for CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. Also, make sure you check him out Monday, Wednesday, Friday right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM ESPN, and then Thursdays with Jeffrey Wright and company. Connor, I did have to update myself. You were right. It was not a school zone. There was no school zone for this woman that tried to get to Little Caesars. Just 107 and a 45. 107 and a 45, and when authorities pulled her over, people were reviewing the body cam footage, and she said, I'm just trying to get to Little Caesars before it closes.
Free her.
Free her? You think so?
Yeah.
107 or 45?
Yeah.
For a Little Caesars?
That's wild.
I don't know. I think you need to lock her up.
Completely sober?
I don't see anything in the story from the New York Post about alcohol or under the influence. Just under arrest for dangerous excessive speeding.
Would have to imagine a couple red lights got blown through as well. 107's crazy.
I mean, just
get that's just insane.
Just go get that two pizza deal from Domino's where they're both like, what is it, $6.95, $6.50?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a member.
Little C.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Caesars, Little Caesars, 107.45 to get there before it closes. I don't know if I can get behind that one.
That's nuts.
I don't know if I can give her a pass. If it was for something a little better, maybe. But nah. Can't do it.
Okay. We don't have to disrespect Little Caesars. We can hold her accountable for her speeding without throwing shade at Little Caesars.
I've never been a Little Caesars guy. Never have enjoyed it.
All right, we don't need to fight on there. We can just move on.
All right. And we'll move on to Robert Irwin Jewelers, Give Gifts and Get Gifts Sale. It has begun now through Saturday, November 15th only. Spend $1,999 or more on anything at RIJ and receive a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler. Or take an additional 10% off already on sale diamond pendants and necklaces. Robert Irwin Jewelers has 40 years in the diamond business. Howie and his team have been able to take care of you every step of the way. If you're buying your loose diamond or custom-made engagement ring, you have the meant-to-be guarantee. If you buy it and you don't like what you have, you guys break up, 365 days to return it for a full refund. You also will have the chance to, if you buy your jewelry from Robert Irwin Jewelers, free jewelry spa service for life to keep it bright and sparkling. And, of course, free ring sizing for life. So if you gain or lose weight, which does happen to us throughout our lives and throughout a long, prosperous marriage, you can bring it in and they can go ahead and handle that for you. But make sure you get in for the Give Gifts to Get Gifts sale through November 15th only, $19.99 or more on anything. If you spend that at RIJ, you will receive a free Yeti Roadie 24 hard cooler. Robert Irwin Jewelers, bigger, brighter diamonds. Better prices online at rijewelers.com, Bartlett Town Center and Bartlett near Kroger, South Haven at the corner of Airways and Goodman, and the RIJ Diamond Showroom, the beautiful one, brand new, beautiful one on South Perkins near Laurelwood. Get by today. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll do my post week 10 NFL power rankings, and we will also get into a trip around the National Football League. Stick around. Coonshaw, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's time to take a trip around the National Football League. Connor, hit it. First story here. I don't know if it's going to be anything that lasting for the Packers, or if it changes their season drastically, but it changes to a certain extent. A two-time Pro Bowl interior offensive lineman who is now the center, Elgton Jenkins, suffered a leg fracture, and it's highly, highly unlikely that he will return this season. Maybe if they make a deep playoff run, he'll be able to return. But Elgton Jenkins is out for the foreseeable future. And that's a team that needs all hands on deck offensively because they have not been pacing the season very well offensively. Defense, very good. Offense, been ugly. And I don't know if you've been seeing it, but there's people in Green Bay and the state of Wisconsin that are very frustrated with Matt LaFleur and have been talking about him being on the hot seat, which I find absolutely insane, but I do get the frustration. He is an offensive head coach who's always had good offenses, and it's fallen off this year when it doesn't feel like it should. So I get it, but Elgton Jenkins, this certainly doesn't help, but I don't know how much it's going to affect them long term. He'll be out for the foreseeable future. All right, now the team that's playing the Packers is the New York Giants coming up this Sunday at noon. And Jackson Dart's still in concussion protocol. And you know who's been lifted up as the number two quarterback? That'd be one Jameis Winston. He is slated to start for the Giants on Sunday against the Packers if Jackson Dart does not clear concussion protocol. And I can, like, Jameis Winston, You know, there's those guys that have these big personalities that don't necessarily deliver every time they're in front of a mic or in front of a camera. But Jameis Winston, he never fails. This was him today at a presser.
I want fans to know that I'm going to do my best. You know, obviously, I'm going to have fun, but I'm going to execute, have a surgical execution, and just play ball, man. Like, this is something I've been doing since I've been 4 years old. Now I just get to do it in the greatest city in the world. I'm just saying it with my son. It's the greatest city in the world. Yeah, that's a Hamilton reference, if y'all don't know. Yeah, 10-year reunion.
He never fails. He never fails. It's unbelievable. He is so unique. He is so himself. I can't wait to watch him start on Sunday if Jackson Dart does not get through concussion protocol. I'll tell you that much right now. Oh, this really has to do with Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to play because the Baltimore Ravens don't really have a choice. But it's worth noting he wasn't at practice today. And he's got the knee issue. It's been lingering all year. Jim Harbaugh says he's going to be fine. They expect him to suit up coming up tomorrow. For practice, he'll likely be a limited participant, but no Lamar Jackson at practice today. They need him to start every game through the rest of the regular season, considering the hole that they have dug themselves. So it's something worth keeping an eye on. Smaller story, but still worth mentioning. Jaire Alexander, who was traded for from the Baltimore Ravens, the Eagles had their hands on him. He's stepping away from football to focus on getting himself right physically and mentally. They got him before the trade deadline from Baltimore, but he didn't play a snap for them. So it's tough for Jaire Alexander. It feels like we're coming up on the end of his career. But he's a guy who couldn't stay healthy and then just did not play well with the Ravens, got traded, and I feel like his head is in a different place right this second. So we'll see what happens there. But I think the bigger news, A.J. Brown was streaming Madden last night. You know where I'm going with this, right? He's airing his complaints as publicly as possible. Last night, the quote that really got me, let me see if I have this pulled up. A.J. Brown was asked everything good on Janky Rondo's stream last night when he was playing Madden with him. And he said, no, where have you been? Family's good. Everything else? No, it's an S show. And he started laughing. He said, you want some how you been? Struggling, brother. He is struggling. According to A.J. Brown, he is struggling. I'm a little bit torn on this because I think we all can relate to not feeling like you're putting your best foot forward and not contributing to winning for your team or your company, wherever you're at. Like, I can feel that pain. You want to contribute. And right now, A.J. Brown is 50th in the NFL in receiving yards. 50th. 5-0. 50th. He's only caught for right around 400 yards this year. I mean, he's out there every Sunday just basically doing cardio. Like, I can understand his frustration. That said, there's a lot of wide receivers on that team, Devontae Smith, otherwise. Saquon Barkley hasn't been that great so far this year. O-line's not blocking for him like he's used to. I mean, the guy had an Offensive Player of the Year season last year, and he's just not able to make anything happen so far this season. A.J. Brown is the only one that's expressing this level of anger with where the Eagles are at right now. The Eagles are 7-2. The Eagles are still a very good football team, and they're winning ball games. It may be ugly, and offense may not be great, but their defense is stepping up when they need to. They're playing complementary football. And I saw this stat, and I think it's worth putting out there. In the last 700 days in games, when A.J. Brown gets less than 8 targets per game from Jalen Hurts, the Eagles are 11-0. When he gets more than 8 targets, they're 7-3. So they still win at a decent rate when he's producing, but they have yet to lose a game when they target him under 8 times. So all of this complaining for a team that's still atop the NFC standings just doesn't sit with me the right way. I don't know about you, though, Connor.
You know how I feel. I'm annoyed by it. Yeah. It's every single season.
It's every season. It's too much. I mean, just let it be. Let it be at this point. All right, now we need to get to my post-Week 10 NFL power rankings. Let's go ahead and get into it. Number five. Number five, pretty simple for me. I'm going to go ahead and make a switch. I'm putting in the Seahawks. Seahawks are 8-2. Seahawks are rolling. Sam Darnold looks great. Defense playing complimentary football. Now, they're a little bit, you know, too dependent, in my opinion, on Jaxon Smith-Njigba and what he can do on the outside. But he has been delivering every game.
He's been crazy this year.
But at some point, you feel as if an opposing defense is going to lock in on him, and do they have other answers outside of him? They should. You have Cooper Kupp out there. You know, Rashid Shaheed was added before the trade deadline as a deep threat. So maybe that those guys can get more involved. But I do like this team. I think they have what it takes to run through the NFC the way they're pacing the season. I'm going to put the Philadelphia Eagles here. They're still pacing the season really well. Offense needs to get it going. They've had some moments of really good pass performances from Jalen Hurts and from that wide receiver core, but it's just few and far in between so far this year. I think more so than anything, the way they run their offense, you need to get the run game going. You need to get Saquon creating those explosive plays. He just has not been able to do that so far this year. I don't know if it's injuries on the offensive line or if it's an injury from Saquon, but that is the biggest thing missing, in my opinion, from this offense. Because we've had these conversations about the pass offense the last 3 years, right? With Jalen Hurts, ever since he's been the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, we've had conversations about the pass offense, but a given was always they're going to be able to run the ball. They have a great offensive line. They have a great running back. But now I don't feel the same way. They need to get that run game going, and I'll feel a whole lot better about them. I had to drop them down because I think the two teams ahead of them, I just think they've been better. Indianapolis Colts. I think the Daniel Jones miracle season is slowing down. He's turning the ball over a little bit more. He's a little bit more erratic, but Jonathan Taylor still is phenomenal, and that defense is still good. I like the addition of Sauce Gardner. He looked good in his first game overseas as their premier corner when their pass defense was 26th. Before that game, that's why they added Sauce Gardner. So I like the makeup of their team. They still only have 2 losses. They're still rolling. But Daniel Jones is starting to make me, like, slow down. I have to slow my roll a little bit. Not that I didn't expect to have to slow my roll with Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback, but it's catching up. The last 2 weeks have been pretty ugly from him. Connor, you may love this one.
It's got to be the Pats, right?
New England Patriots.
Come on, baby.
Drake May. I think behind Matt Stafford of realistic MVP candidates, because I just don't think the NFL and the voters are going to give it to anybody other than a quarterback. I think Drake May would be 2 behind Matt Stafford, but that defense is great. Christian Gonzalez as a cornerback, he is one of the best in the league. You know, we need to talk about it a whole lot more. That defense is rolling. I think they're coached really well. They're good at situational football. They do just about everything well. So, hence the ranking this week at number 2, and they only have 2 losses. The Rams, I'm putting the Los Angeles Rams at the top. Only 2 losses. Defense, young, but weirdly experienced, and they show up. They play complimentary football with that offense. That offense is lighting up the scoreboard every week. Matt Stafford leads the NFL in passing touchdowns, TD to INT ratio, and passing yards at the age of 37. I like this team. I think the way I'd explain it, because the Rams and the Seahawks are both on my power rankings this week, and they're both in the same division, the NFC West. I think the Rams are the more predictable version of the Seahawks, if that makes sense at all. That's how I'm going to term it. But in review, Seahawks at 5, Eagles at 4, Colts at 3, Pats at 2, and Rams at number 1, checking in at number 1 in my post-Week 10 NFL power rankings.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll get to small talk. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. We're going to pass you off to Grizzlies on the road against the Celtics with the Grizzlies Radio Network in just a moment. But we do have an update on the injury report. We know that Zach Edey was upgraded to doubtful. He will not be a participant tonight, but we have another one to add to that. John Morant will not be participating tonight. I got to be honest, though, Connor. This is going to sound crazy. And I'm glad it's on the road. Kind of ready for a night off from Ja. Kind of ready for it. I want to see what this team does without him. I want to see if this team can sort of find different ways to score. I want to see, you know, what the energy looks like with Ja off the floor. I don't think that we can sit here and say Ja has been a glowing on-court or off-court presence so far this year. I don't think we can say that, just considering what we know to be true about this 4-8 start.
I mean, I don't feel that way. I don't know. I've watched how they struggled in Toronto.
I mean, the one thing I would say is, like, this is the most winnable game of this four-game road trip, and it does stink the Jaws off the floor in that sense.
I just do not feel that way.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
But I understand what you mean.
Tomorrow we're going to have Ryan Silverfield on the show, Kyron Samuels on the show, and Jeff Calkins on the show. But that is a wrap for today. Thanks to my wonderful guests, David Cobb and Colton Denning, for their contributions. We'll be back here at the same time time tomorrow. In the meantime, let's pass you off to Grizzlies on the road against the Celtics.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.